Right, should be on, I think. Yep. Well, yeah, as Mike mentioned, we're coming to the end of our series in Proverbs. We've only got one more week to go next week. And actually, this week, we're going to be doing something slightly different. Most of the weeks, we've been looking through kind of just one passage from Proverbs, going verse by verse. That's how we normally preach here at Redeemer. That's when that happens, you know, that what the preacher is saying is directly from the Word of God. You can follow along. You can see there in black and white what they're saying. But if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, you'll be aware that that approach, going verse by verse, can be a bit difficult at times. So just take a step back and look through the structure of Proverbs as a whole. In chapters 1 to 9, we basically have this really long introduction to the book. And it's really kind of a sustained appeal from Solomon to his son to get wisdom and to live life in the fear of the Lord. But then in the rest of the book, in chapters 10 to 29, there are a few little bits at the end which are different, but in chapters 10 to 29, we have this just very large collection of the Proverbs of Solomon. And these come to us as these little pithy one-line sayings. And we're very familiar with this in our culture, aren't we? We say things like, too many cooks spoil the broth, or many hands make light work. And these one-liners, they teach us about life. How to live life, and we know what they mean. They're not absolute commands, they're not absolute rules that are true all the time, but they do teach us valuable lessons about life in God's world. And it's the same in this book of Proverbs. What we have here are these proverbs, these one-line sayings, they teach us about life, their observations and advice, how to live well in the world that God has made. And actually, there's lots of different topics addressed. And as we read through the book of Proverbs, it can seem that these are kind of arranged pretty randomly. Even in the passage that we had read out, there's lots of different topics addressed with no particular structure. And actually, I think that's on purpose. I think what the author and whoever's collected these Proverbs together is saying is that God's wisdom pervades all of life. We can't untangle them. God's wisdom is interlinked and interwoven together to apply to all areas of life. So what we're going to do today, we're not going to look through that passage we had out read verse by verse, but we're going to just pick up one particular topic that Proverbs addresses. And the topic I've chosen is the whole topic of how we use our words. We might say wisdom and the tongue. And in particular, the sin of gossip. Proverbs has a lot to say. We know that gossip is bad, but it's something that we get sucked into so easily, and it's hard to stop. And we see it mentioned here in the passage that we read out. Let's look at chapter 11 and verse 13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. What I've done, we're not going to look through every verse in chapter 11, but what I've done in my preparation is to really look through the whole book of Proverbs, to gather together a lot of the different proverbs that speak about gossip, speak about the way we use our tongue, our words. And I've tried to bring them together so that we have a kind of holistic picture of what the Bible teaches. And my prayer for today is that we'll go away encouraged and eager to serve Jesus in how we use our words. So just so you know where we're going in the sermon, I've got four headings. We're going to think about the damage of gossip, the definition of gossip, and then the remedy for gossip, and then finally resisting gossip. Just to warn you, the first 2 points will feel a bit negative, and I make no apologies for that. It's important that we understand the problem correctly before we can start to think about the solution. But I do urge you to hold in there. I promise that it will get better and that we'll go away encouraged by the gospel of Jesus and eager to serve him. So first of all, the damage of gossip. a very small thing can have a devastating effect, can't it? We think about a virus. Think about the last time you had a really bad bout of flu or a really bad cold. All it took was that one little virus to get into your body. Someone sneezed or coughed, you were in the room at the same time. Maybe you touched a surface that they'd touched. And before you know it, this virus has got itself into your body. It's multiplying and multiplying. And before you know it, you're in bed for the whole week, out of action. Or think of a fire. A fire can destroy a house and destroy people's lives. But one of the things that people are always keen to know is how that fire started in the first place. And so often it started by such a little thing. It might be a spark from a plug or a candle that someone hasn't extinguished properly. A little thing has devastating effects. But it's like that with gossip. We might think that it's a small thing, not that serious. But the reality is it has devastating effects if it's allowed to continue. Gossip hurts people. There's an old saying that gossip hurts at least three people. The one being spoken about, the one hearing the gossip, and the one speaking it. So we're all affected. First of all, it hurts ourselves. Hear these words from Proverbs 13, verse 3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. And then it hurts our neighbour. Look down at chapter 11, verse 9, one of the verses that we had read out. 11, verse 9. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbour, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. And then it can destroy the whole community. Chapter 11, verse 11. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. So can someone just get me a glass of water? When it says city there, sorry. When it says city there, we can apply that to any community that we can think of. Think of your family, think of your workplace, think of this church. Gossip can destroy a church. And sadly, there have been times when that has happened. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Gossip has become a respectable sin. We think it's not that big a deal. But actually, it can destroy everything that we value, everything that we hold dear. Thanks, Tim. So that's the damage of gossip. Secondly, the definition of gossip. It's been said that the first rule of war is to know your enemy. So if we want to go to war with gossip, we need to be clear on exactly what it is. And it's important that we have a clear definition of gossip because there are some things that we think are gossip which are actually not. So it's important that we don't have a false guilt about something that we think we've done. But then on the other side, there's some things which we might think aren't gossip which actually are, and we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of the damage that they can cause. We might think that gossip is just about speaking behind someone behind their back, but actually I think we need to say a bit more than that. We need to have a clear definition. I was reading a book all about gossip the last couple of weeks, and I found that it gave a very useful definition of gossip there, and I've just stolen that definition in this sermon just for clarity. There's no point improving on something that's already good. Gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. So first of all, bearing bad news. Gossip's obviously about words, sharing, communicating, transmitting stories and information. But what I want us to see is actually it goes in both directions. It's both the talking and the listening. First of all, the talking. Proverbs 20, verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. The old King James Version translates that word gossip as a talebearer. It's about sharing something that should be kept secret. Bad news about someone else. Is that something that you've done? Or has someone done that to you? It feels awful to know that someone has given away your secret. It's really a betrayal by talking. Secondly, listening. Proverbs 17, verse 4. A wicked man listens to evil lips, and a liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. So this can sometimes mean listening to gossip and actually not stopping the person who's saying the words. Sometimes we can actually egg them on. We can ask the questions to get them to keep talking because we want to listen to it more and more. We want to listen to the information that they're spreading. And actually to listen is almost as sinful as to be the one speaking it. Gossip is bearing bad news, listening and talking. And actually, there's a couple of types of bad news. Firstly, the information itself could be bad information, wrong information, either information that you're not sure is true, or information that you know to be false. In other words, a lie. And if you know that the information you're spreading is false, then you're not only guilty of gossip, you're guilty of slander. Proverbs 19, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will not go free. Secondly, the information itself might be true, but it's still bad news about someone. It's what we might call a shameful truth. Something that someone has done or had done to them that they wouldn't want to get out in public. And we should ask ourselves, if I were this person, would I want this information spoken about and broadcast behind my back? Bearing bad news and then behind someone's back. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inward parts. And some translations for the word gossip there, they actually use the word whisperer. A whisperer talks behind your back. They make sure they're not speaking loudly enough so that you know you can't hear. Because they know deep down that they don't want you to hear what they're saying about you. A gossip is a whisperer. So ask yourself next time you're tempted to gossip. Would I be saying this if the person I was talking about was here? Am I hiding? Am I trying to hide this conversation from someone? And would I want someone else to talk about me in this way if I were out of the room? Just to address a potential misunderstanding here, I can hear people saying, you know, but surely there are times when we need to talk about people behind their back. Surely there are scenarios where that's right and good. And that is right. There are times where it is legitimate to talk about other people and actually necessary to do that behind their back. So we might think of parents talking about their children, talking about how to raise their children well. Teachers talking about their students. Sometimes it's necessary to discuss them when they're not there. And in the church, it's maybe necessary for the church leaders to talk to one another about people in the church, to protect the purity of the church, to care for the health of the church in the best way. And I think the main thing in all of this that we need to understand is, what is the motivation of the speaking? Is this being done in love? It may be necessary sometimes to warn others of the danger of a particular person, or to speak about someone in order to care for their well-being, to help love them in the best way. The key thing is, what is the motivation? And that brings us on to the last bit of this definition. Gossip's bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. See, gossip is caused by something that is actually very wrong with us at the core of our being. Proverbs 18, verse 8 again. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inward parts. If you know me, you'll know that I love food. I love eating food, I love cooking food. And one of my favourite meals to eat is steak and chips. And it's hard to beat a perfectly cooked bit of steak. Medium rare, red on the inside, tender, juicy, moist. And there's nothing that compares to that first bite of steak. Nothing compares to feeling it touch your lips, tasting the flavour, feeling it go down into your stomach. We all crave good food, don't we? Well, it's kind of like that with gossip. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels, Proverbs says, like a tasty bit of food. And there's something about us that actually finds gossip very attractive, very tasty. Deep down, we want to gossip because we love it. But actually, that shows that there's actually something very wrong with us. There's something very wrong on the inside, something wrong with our hearts. Jesus said that it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. One time, Jesus was criticized by the Pharisees because they saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, hands that hadn't undergone the ceremonial washing that the Pharisees practiced. But Jesus answered the Pharisees, saying that nothing that enters you from the outside can make you unclean. Mark 7, verse 20. Jesus said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. But it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." We could add gossip to that list as well. See, the fundamental problem is not our outward actions, but it's our hearts, our sinful hearts with our sinful desires and thoughts and motivations. So think about gossip. When you gossip, ask yourself, why am I saying this gossip? Why am I listening to it? Why am I so attracted to it? And it's actually the problem is the motivation of our hearts. Gossip, it's serious. It's serious. But the good news is that the gospel of Jesus Christ has power. The gospel of Jesus Christ offers a solution to gossip. The power to save and the power to transform us to live lives that are pleasing to God. We've seen the damage of gossip and the definition of gossip. And thirdly, the remedy for gossip. The remedy for gossip. Maybe you feel really convicted. You can see the damage and the danger of gossip. You see the sickness in your own heart. Maybe how you've hurt yourself, how you've hurt other people. But even though you see the problem, you don't know the way out. It feels like you're maybe pushing a boulder up a hill or swimming against a current. It feels like an impossible situation to resolve. Well, as I said, the good news is that there is a solution. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to deal with our sinful, bad hearts, and he came to save us and transform us. Just turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We had verses 8 and 9 read out for us in the confession time. I'm going to focus on some of the verses at the start of the chapter, but it shows us what Jesus has done for us in the gospel and how what he's done is really the remedy for gossip. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We were dead in our sin, slaves to our sinful hearts, under God's righteous anger, his wrath. But the good news of the gospel is that God has made us alive in Christ. To be a Christian is to undergo a radical transformation from death to life. It's something that God has done to us. We're saved by grace. And if there's only one thing that you remember today from the sermon, I want you to remember that little word, grace. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What does that word grace mean? Well, we can get a pretty good definition just looking at the words, the letters that make up grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. We're saved because of what Jesus has done for us. He purchased our salvation by his life, his death, and resurrection. On the cross, Jesus set us free from the penalty of sin. He took the punishment that we deserve on the cross so that we don't have to. He took the punishment for all of the gossip that we've committed. And whatever sin, name whatever sin you can think of, if you trust in Jesus, he has took that punishment for you on the cross so that you don't have to. You might be thinking, how could God ever forgive a sinner like me? If he could really see my heart, if he could see all the bad things that I've done, all the thoughts I have, he wouldn't want anything to do with me. But no, Jesus' blood, the power of his cross, is sufficient to save you from any sin. Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin, and he saves us from the power of sin. You see, as Christians, we're united to Jesus. One of the most common expressions that the Bible has for a Christian is someone who is in Christ, united to him. So that means that when Jesus died, we also died. That means that our old self full of sin and shame, was crucified on the cross. And our old self was buried in the tomb. Our old self is dead and buried, still in the tomb. But when Jesus rose, we rose with him. We are made alive in him. We're new creations in him. And he has given us a new heart controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we now have desires to please him. And that means we're no longer slaves to sin. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say no to sin, no to gossip, no to whatever sin you're struggling with. And we can say yes to righteousness. And although we still have a remaining sin nature, we are still pulled in the direction of sin. We're no longer slaves to it. We're no longer under its controlling power. We're new creations in Christ. And that is a solution to our sin of gossip. The gospel is always a solution. And actually, as Christians, if we continue in gossip, it's because we're actually no longer really believing the gospel. You see, behind every outward action, and actually behind every gossip, every action of gossip, there is always some underlying issue, some underlying heart attitude and heart motivation that leads us to want to do that. And in those situations, we need to remember the promise of the gospel, that we have everything that we need in Christ, that we are new creations in him. If I had a bit more time, I'd go into a few specific situations to show you what it looks like in detail. But I'll have to leave you with that to think about for yourself. Ask yourself a few kind of diagnostic questions. Think about when you gossip, why are you doing that? What is the heart motivation? What is the idol that you're worshipping in that situation? And then think about, how does the gospel change that? How does it transform your thinking? How does the gospel change your heart to stop you from committing that sin? The danger of gossip, the definition of gossip, the remedy for gossip, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then finally, resisting gossip. And we'll go back into Proverbs now. As well as warning us of the danger of gossip telling us what it is, Proverbs also gives us a lot of practical advice for resisting it. But before we go into detail, it's worth just saying that we don't have a one-case-fits-all approach in Proverbs. It's not like, oh, if you do this thing, you're guaranteed to work in every situation. Proverbs don't really work like that. No, it still takes wisdom and discernment to know how to act in specific situations. So we always need to ask God for wisdom. God says if you ask him for wisdom, he will give it to you. We need to pray. And then when we're talking about all these practical things, remember that in and of themselves, these outward actions, they won't really do anything. Because as I said, it's our hearts that are the fundamental problem. So when we're thinking about these bits of practical advice to resist gossip, always remember that we need to have a changed heart first. There's loads of things that Proverbs teaches us about it, so I'm going to have to be a bit selective. But as I said earlier, gossip is a two-way thing, speaking and listening. So I've got a couple of points for each of them that will help us kind of with both sides of the coin. First of all, thinking about speaking. What can we do to resist gossip in that situation? Well, first of all, Proverbs has a lot of wisdom about just saying nothing at all. Proverbs 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. You see, often the best thing to do when you're in a situation where you're tempted to gossip is to just say nothing at all. We often think that we need to say something. We need to respond. We need to get sucked in to the conversation. People might think that we're a fool if we just stop speaking. But actually, hear these words from Proverbs 17, verse 27 and 28. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought-wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. There's great wisdom in just saying nothing. If you're in a situation where gossip is happening, just don't entertain it. Don't get involved. Keep your mouth shut. But then something a bit more positive, I guess. Say nothing and then actually speak good news. See, part of the definition of gossip is bearing bad news, speaking bad news about someone. Therefore, the antidote is to actually speak good news about them. Hear Proverbs 15, verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Instead of gossiping about a person, think about something nice you can say about them. Seek to use your words to encourage others and build them up. And instead of gossiping, speak God's word to one another. Hear these words from Ephesians again, Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is applying the gospel that he's been preaching to the kind of practical areas of life. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And then later in chapter 5, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two practical bits of advice if you're tempted to speak. Say nothing at all and speak good news. And then finally, two points to if you're tempted to listen to gossip, if that's something that you're particularly drawn to, well then two bits of advice again from Proverbs. First of all, avoid. Proverbs 20, verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Ask yourself, do I need to be around this person? Do I need to be in this situation? is this situation good for me? Does that mean, it might mean avoiding some people completely. Avoid situations that you know you'll be dragged into. Have the courage to say no. It might be a sacrifice. People might think you're a fool. People might not want to be friends with you anymore. But actually, sometimes it's worth doing that. Avoid. But sometimes avoiding isn't practical. You know, if it's someone in our family, we can't just avoid them completely. If it's someone in church, someone in our MC, again, we can't just avoid them. That's not practical. Well, in those situations, remember that God has put you there to be a witness for Christ, so you can influence people for Christ. So if you're in a situation that you know where gossip is occurring, have the courage to redirect that conversation to something else. Change the subject. When someone dangles that bit of bait in front of you, have the courage to resist. Have the courage to avoid that. Have the courage to say to the person, actually, I don't think this is what we should be talking about. I don't think this is kind to this person. Avoid. And then finally, cover. Cover. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers an offence promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. And then chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. You see, we have the power to cover over someone else's wrongs with our words. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pretend that the bad thing happened. It doesn't mean that we just sweep it under the carpet. But it means that not everyone needs to know about something bad that someone's done or something bad that's happened to them. You know, we can use our words, we can use our influence to put a veil over what someone has done rather than just broadcasting it to others. And covering sometimes also means defending. We may hear someone attacking someone's reputation, accusing them of doing wrong, even when there's no clear evidence. And we should have the courage to speak up to defend that person's reputation in those circumstances. Have the courage to say, actually, I don't think that's any of our business. Let's talk about something else. Four practical tips. And as I said, there are loads more. Have a look through Proverbs yourself after this to see for yourself what Proverbs says. Four practical tips. Say nothing at all. Speak good news. Avoid. And then cover. So we've learned that gossip is dangerous. And it can feel like an impossible thing to escape from. But there is hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is in the business of changing our hearts. He's creating us into a people that speak words of life to one another. A community where we display his glory. A family where we can build one another up. And he graciously gives us his wisdom so that we know how to use our words well. And that's what Jesus did. He spoke the words of eternal life. They were not always easy words to hear. Sometimes they might have been unpopular and difficult to hear. But they were the words of truth. They were the words of life. And he always spoke those life-giving words in love. And Jesus calls us to follow him, to use our words for his glory. We have new hearts, we're alive in him, we have power through the Spirit to put gossip to death. So praise be to the God who saved us, not because of anything we have done, but because of his mercy and grace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for all the wisdom that we read about in the book of Proverbs. And Father, we know that your word does sometimes convict, it exposes our sinful hearts. But Father, thank you that you don't leave us like that. Thank you that you sent Jesus into the world to save sinners. Thank you that you sent him to give us new hearts, to make us alive. Thank you that in Jesus, we have new hearts. We can put to death our sin. We can be transformed to live lives that are pleasing to you, honouring to you. glorifying to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help that gospel of Jesus Christ sink deeper and deeper into our hearts. You would help us to understand the great goodness and love that Jesus has for us, and you would help us to imitate him in the way that we interact and speak with one another. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, and just praise you for saving us, not because of anything that we have done, but because of your mercy and grace. Amen.